Yeah. The Bar Podcast. Biblical reform, let's go.
Yeah. Welcome to the bar. Come on and pull up a seat and open up your Bible. What a wonderful feast. The living bread, and we're discussing what it means for the streets, the inner cities, and the burbs, and every person we meet. This is where we challenge worldviews that we hear from world news. In light of the scripture, yo, we are here to serve you. We're your source for resources to help you on your way as you battle mean forces. Yo, this is for the people who can see the importance of sound theology and the scripture that support it. Yeah, this is for the truth lovers, biblically reforming, preaching Christ to the nations. Yeah. The nations. Welcome to the modern reformation.
Yeah. Welcome everybody to the bar. It's your boy Dwayne, and right back in here in the building. Super excited to be coming through your earbuds, through your speakers, wherever you listen to the bar. We're grateful that you are listening. And this is another G3 episode live on site. Super excited about being at G3. G3 is the Reform Family Reunion. Everybody comes out to reconnect, people that they talk to and chill with online, to get to come and do it in person. And this guest actually was a repeat offender, or is a repeat offender. And it's funny because he don't even remember being on my show because he was being outshined by Les Tanner. Not Tanner, he wasn't on. It's a different podcast. But
Lamphere.
Right. Lamphere, man. But we're super excited to talk about the new movie, man. The new movie that was last night the premiere?
Yes, it was.
All right. We premiered it last night at G3. So first, man, introduce yourself to the folks. Let them know who's on the line today.
Yeah, my name is David Lovey. I'm the writer and narrator of the film. We're so grateful to be here at G3, man. I've told other people this, that I've kind of felt like Joseph in front of Pharaoh, that he found favor in Pharaoh's eyes.
Yeah.
That, not to compare G3 to Pharaoh, but or Potiphar.
Right.
I don't know which one's better to compare him to, but like everything we've asked of them has been yes and amen, and they've been such a blessing to me personally, to the film, to hosting the film. Last night we had, I think, 5,000 attendees at
amazing.
The premiere, which is amazing. There's not even Hollywood movies that have 5,000 people
No.
at a premiere of it. So we're so grateful, and my hope is that God is going to use the film to bring people out of error and into the truth, out of darkness and into the light, and to know who the Holy Spirit is and what his true work in the world is today, man. It's so crucial for us. It's crucial for the church.
Absolutely, you know? Man. Absolutely. G3 is probably one of the best places to premiere that movie, man. Just me personally, on my personal journey, you know, G3 coming here was like the pinnacle of my, coming out of that world. And the reason why I say that is because there's not a lot of conference in the Southeast when it comes to Reformed Biblical conferences. And so just coming out of the charismatic world, Word of Faith, New Apostolic, you know, I have all that in my background. And a lot of people that are here at G3, they're in Atlanta. And those kind of churches are everywhere. So your film, you know, being premiered here, man, is a major thing. Just on the level of, you know, so many people that can resonate with it, and like you said, it's going to help those that are lost, man. So, man, let's talk about it, man. You know, we've been chatting it up for a while, man. David's been like super patient with me, let me eat my lunch and walk around, and you know, I left him in good hands. Shout out to my man Jason Whitaker for holding down Dear Woke Christian, but no, man. Let's talk about the film, man, and just you know, when I haven't watched it yet, you know.
Oh, you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet, so I'm still on.
That's payback for me not remembering.
Absolutely, absolutely not being on my show. Absolutely,
dude. I remember though. I do remember. Now.
Okay,
it's because you went on like 25 in a very short span. We went on like 25 podcasts.
I know,
and I just couldn't keep track of who we talked to.
Blameless.
Of course, I'm familiar with you and your wonderful for work in the cyber world.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord, dude. So I'm really glad that as I was walking by here, as I wanted to talk to you again, man.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And even Tim reached out last week, was like, man, you think we can record a podcast while you're here? I was like, absolutely, man. You already know. You guys are more than welcome.
Yeah, thanks,
and
bro.
So, you know, the film, man, you know, a lot of people. I want to go this direction. This is a curveball, y'all. I just came on my mind.
Oh, good.
So I know of a lot of reform folks that say they are continuationists.
Yeah.
You know? So does the film address that? I haven't watched the film. So is that something that, you know, you can have sound doctrine, but... And then if not, then let's talk about it.
Yeah, so we do actually. The film does address that in probably a very controversial way.
I love it.
One of the guys that we interviewed, Chad Vegas, makes the argument in the film that during the time of the Protestant Reformation, of course, there's the Roman Catholic Church, which has the Roman Pontiff, the Pope, as the head, who is receiving words from God, extra-biblical words from God, and that the Reformers were arguing against that and saying that we should be sola scriptura, that the Bible is our final word.
Right.
And on the other side, you had Anabaptists, which were the equivalent of that time's Pentecostals or Charismatics.
Mm-hmm.
So the argument then is made that historically, to be either in Rome or to be an Anabaptist is not to be Protestant.
Mm.
Not just not to be Reformed.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be Protestant.
Mm.
Because a pillar of Protestantism is the foundation of the Word and the sufficiency of the Word. That God has given us this perfect, infallible, authoritative, inerrant Word of God.
Mm.
And that it is sufficient to inform all of our life.
Mm-hmm.
We do not need extra words from God. So that there's really a problem, not just in Reformed, but even in the idea of being a Protestant and saying that you believe in extra biblical revelation.
Now,
what will happen then is that Protestants or even Reformed people who say that they're that must then change the definition of prophecy in order for them to say that that's what they are.
Yep.
Okay? And the Bible doesn't give a new definition of prophecy. So in the film, I have a recording. It's a behind-the-scenes story, bro. I'll tell you right now.
So
my dear friends who go to my church, they're actually friends with the Grudems, Wayne and Margaret Grudem.
Yeah, okay? Wayne's been on the show.
He has.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's a charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
He would call himself a reformed charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, they have a tape of him preaching at a prophecy conference in the 1980s that they saved, man. And they said, maybe this would be helpful for you in your movie. So I was like, oh, yes, man.
Right.
Yes. Because I asked him for an interview for the film. Never got back to me.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason. I'm not saying he was scared or
anything.
Right,
right, right.
I'm just saying he just never got back to me. And I'm listening to this tape from the 80s, and Wayne was saying stuff there. I couldn't believe my ears.
Really?
Man. So, I mean, well, you'll see when you watch the movie. I mean, he says that his wife is a prophetess who gets visions and pictures from God. My friends, anecdotally, once I listened to Wayne say that, I called them, and I was like, yo, is this, like, have you ever heard him say anything like that to you? At least anecdotally.
Sure.
They told me that they were driving in a car with Wayne and Margaret, and he said again to them that Margaret is a prophetess and that she could look at houses and say which house had a demon living in it, okay?
Sheesh.
So, that's not recorded.
Sure.
I don't have that on tape, but I do have him on tape saying that his wife is a prophetess that gets visions, okay?
Wow.
So Wayne says in that same tape, he says that, let me give you this as a definition of prophecy. Something that God spontaneously brings to mind that you weren't thinking about before. That's his definition of prophecy. So you think about that. If that's the definition of prophecy, that's that we're going with, something that God spontaneously brings to mind.
Pizza. I was kidding.
I mean, bro, then everyone is a prophet then. Right? I mean, every Christian is a prophet then, because God, I mean, the Bible says that he's going to bring things to mind.
True.
Jesus says that the Comforter will bring my words to mind.
True.
Right? Yeah, that when we're persecuted, he'll give us the words to speak.
True.
Right, but that's not prophecy, though.
Nope. Change the definition.
That's not what the scripture is referring to.
Yeah.
When it's talking about that,
mm-hmm.
right? So they have to redefine what the word means in order to call themselves that.
Wow.
And so what do we see, man? We see that the charismatic movement treats God like a one-hit wonder. Okay? Way back in the day, man, he had this really great revelation, you know, and it was solid. And it was perfect. It was solid. And now the revelation that he gives is like, oh, mixed, and people can be wrong. And prophets, they like get stuff wrong all the time. And like, who cares? Not a big deal. They can get back on TBN the next day.
Wow.
It's no big deal, right? And then way back in the day, man, Jesus was raising the dead. And the apostles, man, they were saying, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the paralyzed man gets up and walk. That was a one-hit wonder, though. Now, man.
It's the watered-down version.
Now we got, like, leg lengthening by Todd White, bro. The parlor tricks and that, you know. And we don't see any actual real miracles by miracle workers.
Yeah.
This is an important thing, let me say, just about that. We are not arguing that God doesn't do miracles, man. God is God.
Bro.
God can do miracles. And you know how I know that God can do miracles? Because he took out my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh.
Amen.
And that's a miracle on the level of Jesus raising Lazarus.
Facts.
Him raising me from my spiritual deadness was a miracle. It's a real miracle, man. It's a miracle of God. No man could shake me enough to wake me up out of my stupor.
Facts.
Right? Had to be from God. So, of course, God does miracles.
Absolutely.
And I would even say God does healing miracles today.
Yes,
I believe he's able to do that, that the saints come together and they pray and God answers prayers, man. Praise
absolutely.
God for that.
Amen.
But when we talk about the gift of healing, what I like to use this illustration. Michael Jordan is a gifted basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
What do we mean? You agree with that, right?
Yeah.
He's a gifted basketball player.
Absolutely.
But when I say gifted, what does that mean? It means that he has an ability.
Mm-hmm.
And his ability is to make baskets better than anybody else ever in history.
Yep.
LeBron ain't nothing compared to Michael.
Nope.
All right, just saying.
Absolutely.
So he had an ability to do it.
Yep.
So when we say the gift of healing, what we're talking about is people that were imbued supernaturally with the ability.
Yes.
It wasn't like Paul, when Eutychus fell out the window and died, Paul wasn't like, oh, guys, let's pray for him, and I don't know if he's going to rise.
Right.
No. He went down with confidence, absolutely knowing that when he laid on Eutychus and got up, Eutychus was going to get up. Why? Because Paul had the ability to heal him.
That's right.
He had this apostolic power, man. And this is something that was unique to them and to those who the apostles laid their hands on. That's why in Romans 1, Paul says, I desire to come to you and impart a spiritual gift to you.
Yep.
Isn't that fascinating?
Mm-hmm.
I can't impart a spiritual gift to you, man.
Nope.
It's not like I can say to you, let me put my hand on you and now you can do something special.
Nope.
No, because I'm not an apostle.
Right.
They were special that God chose and taught and hand-selected. And Paul was one born as one untimely born. Doesn't deserve to be called an apostle. Yet by the grace of God, I am what I am, he says, right?
So absolutely.
Like, Paul had the ability to do it, right? But now what do we see? Nothing like that.
Nothing.
So that when that poor kid, Olive, died at Bethel, California, Bethel Redding, and those people danced around like the prophets of Baal, crying out, raise her from the dead. Raise Olive. And then what happened, man? She's still in the grave,
still.
Man.
Still.
Why? Because Bill Johnson is a false apostle.
Yep.
He does not have the power to do it.
Nope.
And Chris Vallotton is a false prophet.
Yep.
Like, what we have today is something lower than what was happening in the Bible. Far,
absolutely.
Infinitely lower.
Absolutely.
What do we see in the Bible, man? One hit wonder, right?
Yep.
Like, the apostles in Acts 2 could suddenly speak Phrygian, and they could
right.
speak Japanese, you know?
Yeah.
And suddenly, without ever having learned these languages, Arabic, or whatever, without ever having learned these languages,
yep.
what do we see today? Shitabaranda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's like, oh, there's no lexicon for that. There's no earthly... and as Gabe Hughes says in the film, if anyone would have spoken a heavenly language, wouldn't it be the man from heaven?
Mm.
Like, wouldn't we see Jesus praying on the mountain, like that? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't we see some evidence?
You're pretty
of that?
Good at tongues, just you know, so you know.
well, you know why?
Fake tongues.
Because anybody can do it. That's
Ooh,
why, man.
Where's the? I need a bomb right there.
Yo, that's the reason why. Da 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 la 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 ba ba ba.
I need a bomb sound effect right there, Mr.
Baby
Engineer.
Talk. You know, like in the Bible, man, it's this miraculous power. Why
yeah.
does Paul say, I speak in tongues more than anybody else?
Mm.
You know why he says it? Because he went on more missionary journeys than anybody else.
Mm.
And as an apostle, he's laying the foundation of the church. No one can lay any foundation other than the one which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's what
Amen.
He says in 1 Corinthians 3.
Amen.
So what's he doing as he goes on all these missionary journeys? He's laying
the foundation.
That's why when he goes to some village that speaks some different dialect, God supernaturally
mm-hmm.
gives him this ability
mm-hmm.
to suddenly speak the dialect when he's preaching in to all these different places. You would expect Paul to say, I speak in tongues more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And just because God gave me that ability, that doesn't mean anything. If I don't have love in my heart, I'm just a clanging gong and a cymbal. That's
yep.
all I am then.
Yep.
You know, so what we've set out to do in this film is to show a few things. One, that the manifestation of these so-called sign gifts today looks nothing like what we see in the Bible.
Right.
Two, that, you know, you have to change the definition of these things
mm-hmm.
in order to say that you are a reformed charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sam Storm says, oh, I speak in tongues every day. Of course I do. It's like, bro, come on, Sam Storms, man. That, look, ha, look. He can hate me. I don't hate him.
Sure.
I'll say this, man. That in some ways, I think he's more dangerous than Benny Hinn.
Mm.
And I say that not to be boastful or
sure.
mean toward him. I think he's more dangerous than Benny Hinn because he lends credence to this false theology.
Mm.
His degrees and his books and his expertise on various really good subject matter, then, you know, when it comes to this, then, when Christians listen to Sam Storms or read his books, they think, well, he must be right about this also.
Mm.
And, you know,
ooh, that's
I'm,
good.
I'm just saying he's not, man. He's
right.
not. And you know, if that means that the dude is mad, he can be mad about it. You know, I'm trying to stand on the truth, man.
Absolutely.
And you know, I hope that he repents of teaching that stuff. He said in a number of clips that we have in the film, if you're not seeking the gift of prophecy, you are sinning. Well, then, like Sam Waldron responded to him, and he said, you know, all the commands of Scripture have a context, right? Like, Jesus sent out
right.
the 72. What did he say to them? Don't take an extra cloak. You know, don't receive money from people. Well, Paul, when he went on his journeys, he took an extra cloak. He received money from people.
Mm.
So is Paul breaking the words of Jesus?
Mm.
No. It's because the context in which Jesus was giving that was different with the context in which he was saying it to Paul.
Right.
The context in which Paul is saying you should seek the gift of prophecy is different than our context today, because at
right.
that time there were still apostles.
Yep.
And now there isn't.
Mm.
You know. And so Anyway, man, I could talk all day about
I love it,
this.
Bro. You make my job easy. But it was all dope. Like, it wasn't like you wasn't rambling. Like, this is great content, man. So, all right. So, this is the guy that wrote the film. If this don't convince you, you need to watch it. You need to find it. Shout out to the listeners that supported the, because they were, he were on here when we did the Kickstarter.
Yeah, thank
so
you.
So, shout out to those folks to getting it to where we are here, where we are at the premiere. We opened it up here at G3. And we just pray that it is used as a great tool, man, to continue to help people, man. Brother, any closing words? Because we just knocked this thing out of the park.
Yeah, thanks, bro. I mean, I guess what I would say is that this is serious stuff. Mm. It's a serious matter.
Amen.
Like, I didn't go into this just willy-nilly thinking like, oh, I'm going to make a movie on cessationism.
Right.
Man, I really had to wrestle especially because of how serious it is. And Jesus talks about blasphemy against the spirit.
Absolutely.
I don't want to be guilty of speaking something wrong about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's the last thing I want.
Right.
And I want to revere the Holy Spirit, and I believe in him, and I believe that he's alive today and he works today, and that his work is a sanctifying work. He empowers the Christian life.
Amen.
He's the one who acts in the initial work of regeneration.
Yep.
He acts in sanctification. He acts in conforming us to Christ. He gives us the power to live the Christian life and walk with the Lord. Like, he's alive, man.
Amen.
And he's real, and he's at work in the world today. And that's something to thank God for. That's something to really praise the Lord for, man.
It is.
And so, you know, I would just encourage people to watch our film with an open mind. And if you can be convinced, like Luther said, unless I am convinced by scripture and plain reason, here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen. So then, come to it with an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the film. If you can defeat it with biblical arguments, then good for you.
Mm.
But if you can't, then you must submit yourself
absolutely
under the word of God and become a cessationist. Amen.
Yes, sir. Good Amen. Stuff, brother. I love it. I love it.
Thanks, bro.
Shout out to the Bar Podcast listeners. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Make sure you check out the film. We'll have links to it in the show notes, as well as make sure you check out all the podcasts in the Bar Podcast Network. They're here represented here at G3. Super excited and proud of everybody and what they're doing. All right, y'all. Till next time. God bless. We are out. We'll be right back.